You know, I was thinking after you said that to me yesterday that the on the great show Cheers back in the day.
Yes.
The actress who played, what was her name?
Shelley Long?
No. Was it Carla? Who was the
Mind the Bar,
name,
Carla?
Her name was Rhea Perlman.
Yes.
Married to Danny DeVito.
That's right.
Rhea.
She
name
died.
Was Rhea.
She died.
She did? What was her name on that show, Cheers?
Don't remember her name.
Come on.
Yeah, I know. I think she died of cancer a while back.
Rhea,
right,
R-H-E-A.
She's no longer with us, correct?
I believe she's alive.
Well, oh.
I think she's alive. Let me look right here.
What's this?
Rhea. She's alive. She's the same age as me. No, years active. I'm sorry. She's much older than me. She's 70. Nice. I write the wrong line.
Good try.
It says years active. So she started acting when she was 1972. She started acting the year I was born. She was Carla Tortelli on the sitcom Cheers.
Carla.
Carla. Yeah. So Rhea.
Rhea. Just short. You don't have to say that other part of it. Just say Rhea. My kids learn how to say.
Rhea.
Dad, I got Rhea.
Oh, really? Did
yeah,
you say it to you?
Because I didn't like the whole word. The whole
Daya?
Oh, that's bad. Rhea just made it real simple. Quick and easy.
It reminds me of Rita, who works down the hall.
Oh, Rita Ballou?
I'm not sure
what I'd rather spend time with.
Thanks for all the Carla texts. Hey, we'll get into the people have been asking on the text line about our thoughts on the Deshaun Elliott tweets, which we'll get to. The story we haven't touched much, and I'll tell you why coming up. But also, a lot of headlines. Jordan Spieth. We got to get a leaderboard. Let's get to the Ticket City update desk. Our man Jordan Spieth was in good shape and then fell apart.
Yeah.
Let's get you details. UBO Business Services brings you the news. We will start with the Open Championship, the British Open, over there in Carnoustie, Scotland. At Carnoustie in Scotland. And Tiger and Jordan Spieth was at 3-under par with 4 holes to play in his first round. Then he finished plus one. Jordan played the final 4 holes in 4 over, including a double bogey at 15, bogeyed 16 and 18, and turned a good round into a rough round. He's plus one, which puts him a full 6 strokes back of your clubhouse leader. That would be Kevin Kisner. Kisner fired a 66 today. He's in the clubhouse. Eric Van Ruin as well at 4-under par with a 67 today. Good leaderboard going on right now. Tony Finau having a heck of a round. He's 3-under through 16. Ryan Moore is 3-under through 11. Zach Johnson, 3-under through 6. We'll keep you posted, but the big story early is that Jordan Spieth took a great round and fell apart in the final 4 holes, and now he's way back. We'll keep you posted all morning long. Texas head football coach Tom Herman was on with Chad and Kevin yesterday afternoon, live broadcast, and he broke some news, and not good news, involving his junior college transfer offensive lineman, Mikey Grandy.
And unfortunately, Mikey Grandy is medically disqualified.
Okay.
The doctor said, you know, it's not smart for you to try to continue to play football, so he's going to continue here at the University of Texas, get his degree on scholarship, and we wish him the best of luck.
Of course, he enrolled in January after committing in December and won't have played a game. He released a statement via social media thanking the Texas staff, saying he's disappointed to see it end like this, truly grateful for the opportunity. NBA, Spurs head coach Greg Popovich spoke publicly for the first time in months yesterday on the day where the Spurs traded their disgruntled star forward Kawhi Leonard, along with Danny Green, to the Toronto Raptors in exchange for DeMar DeRozan, up-and-coming center Jakob Poeltl, and protected 2019 first-round draft pick. Popovich says, you know what, is what it is, time to move forward.
You know, Kawhi conducted himself wonderfully while he was here. You know, he helped us win a 5th championship. As I said, he was a hard worker all the time, and we wish him well, but at this point, you know, it's time to move on. I'm concerned about Jakob and DeMar and our basketball team and putting that together. We've got a lot of young kids, and it's exciting.
Baseball had a big trade yesterday as well. Manny Machado, now a member of the L.A. Dodgers. The first-place L.A. Dodgers acquired him for 5 prospects, including one of their top outfield prospects, Yusniel Diaz. Hit a couple of home runs in that Futures game during All-Star weekend. He's part of that package. Machado will be introduced in Milwaukee on Friday, where L.A. goes to open up a series with the Brewers. A little bit of irony there is the Brewers, along with the Phillies, were in heavy discussions for the acquisition of Machado, but the Dodgers win that race there. Post-All-Star game break opens tonight for a couple of teams in Major League Baseball, Cubs and Cardinals. They're going to play a 5-game series at Wrigley Field to make up some rainouts from earlier this year. Astros and Rangers back on the field Friday night. Astros open a series in Anaheim against the Mike Trout and the Angels, Texas will host Cleveland this weekend. And that's the news.
Documation is now UBO Business Services. New name, same great people, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
You know, one of the guys you thought it was, you may have, well, possibly had a good open was Patrick Reed. He is plus three and just knocked it in the gorge, in the canal.
Oh no! Into the burn.
Into the burn, and it looks like hey, and it looks like you can play it like John Vandevall thought you could do. Hey, it's sitting up. Let's play it.
This is day one.
Do you go in there and get it now? You're plus three.
If you're sitting on a three-stroke lead on 18, drop.
But if it's day one and you're already plus three and it's sitting up, you go in there, right?
Play
you go
hero
in there and play
golf.
That.
Got to play hero golf right
sure
there.
Sure you do.
Oh, that stinks because he's one of the nine golfers that I picked. I'm having a pretty good run here.
Yes,
Tony
you are.
Finau, Zach Johnson playing well. But my man Tony Finau, I'm going to pick him in every one of these after he played on a broken ankle.
But as BK say, you won't see him after Friday. He'll disappear on you after
Not
Friday.
Not true. Did you see the U.S. Open? Who was there right on the final end?
At the Masters?
Well, the Masters and the U.S. Open, Tony Finau was right there in the mix. I think it was Finau who shot 66 on Sunday at the Masters. And then U.S. Open, he was really good. Only a couple strokes back of Brooks Koepka.
Do you take Finau, BK? Would you take
Finau,
him?
Coming into
Come
his
on.
Own.
No.
I'm going to take him every time now.
Yeah.
That dude's the toughest dude on the golf tour.
Well, the young guns, you know what the young guns are now doing? They all have little beards now together.
The beards.
Spieth has a little.
Oh, the spring breakers?
Yeah.
Spieth has a little beard?
Oh, yeah. He has one. Ricky Fowler has one. Johnson has one. So they all went spring breaking together.
Johnson, he doesn't hang out with those guys. He hangs out with Paula.
You mean he doesn't go with them at all?
No. Dustin Johnson does not hang out with those dudes.
Oh, he hangs out with
Justin
them.
Thomas, Jordan Spieth,
Ricky
and
Fowler.
But see, now Ricky's engaged. I don't know if he gets kitchen passes either.
Well, we know Sergio can't go anywhere.
No. Sergio's locked down.
Well, they're struggling. Some guys are real. And there's no win today.
Yeah,
this is a day to score.
Be tearing this course up just like the leader did, Kevin Kisner, who was really good. Yeah, Jordan, disappointing, man. He was a 3-under, and then he got himself into a greenside bunker, made double at 15. He bogeyed 16 and bogeyed 18. Not a good finish for Jordan Spieth today. That's one that got away from him. It looked like he was going to put himself right in position, and now he's a full six strokes back of the leader. But we'll keep you posted on that.
And Tiger, when does Tiger hit the...
I know, he's still warming up.
The hell?
Tiger's he's warming up for like 2 hours.
And he's got that black tape on his neck. What is that? What is that new tape
that's called?
Oh, that's
to activate his glutes.
From his neck?
Well, that all connects, right? You got to activate your glutes with your neck.
My glutes are shutting off. I tried to activate my glutes as best I could.
I guess
they never stayed activated.
This is the stuff
kind of
that
popped out and joint kind of went out of place, but I put it back in.
You know, Tiger is a doctor when he hits the golf
That's
course.
True. He knows what's best for
I don't know what that tape
him.
Is. What is that black tape? What does that do
what's
for
that
you?
What's that called?
Stimulate.
Apparently he woke up this morning with some neck pains.
Oh, no.
No big deal, according to his team. But you know what he was doing last night?
He's out at Wendy's or wherever he goes to.
He's doing something with the Denny's.
No, he doesn't do that anymore. He was an addict before. He was an addict before.
It's not Denny's either. Is it Denny's?
You don't go from being an addict to just not making plays.
Well, Bucky Ever. Went from an addict to he can't be drinking.
Can't be drinking, yeah.
Yeah, but
I wasn't that kind of addict.
Yeah, you can't go from
being
sex
a sex
to
addict.
No sex, though, can you?
Well, if you're an addict,
you just give it up altogether.
No.
Just like
you,
go the
you
last
no.
30 years of your life.
No,
I don't know. You might be right. I don't know.
You don't totally give that up.
One day at a time, baby.
You go from a lot of sex to just a little bit of it. You don't just give it up.
You're just kind of an addict, then.
Yeah, you don't. There's no such thing.
And
as,
I'm not making fun of sex addiction at all. I'm saying that what is the proper course.
Want me some glory hole.
The proper course is you go from wanting it all the time to just getting it on occasions, I guess, because you can't just give up sex.
So if you want sex all the time, you're an addict?
Well, I'm kind of an addict myself.
We're not making fun of it.
I'm not making fun of it because I just...
I'm trying to get some education on the process.
Like, for me, I can't have, like, one shot. I've quit drinking. Then I can't go back to just having... One shot
yeah, you
and
can't
one
have
beer.
Two drinks every. You can't just drink with the boys on the golf course every now and again.
So if you're out there trying to slam everything that's moving, how do you go from that to saying, if I'm truly healed, I don't have any sex?
I would say you got to put it in more of a balanced, healthy lifestyle. So like if you have a video game addiction, you could still play some video games. You just can't play them for days on end.
So you go
That's one of those mental addictions, right?
I mean, so you go from like 12 chicks a week
just
to
get a,
two?
Get a steady monogamous girl.
Oh, that's got to be hard for somebody that's a total sex addict. Yeah, I understand that now.
Tiger tees off in 10. Yeah, that's true.
At 10 or 10 minutes? 10 minutes he goes out there.
10 minutes. 10 minutes. All right, so we've been asked a lot about Deshaun Elliott's tweets yesterday, and we actually were talking about this yesterday at our meet and greet. But so former Longhorn safety Deshaun Elliott yesterday went on a string of tweets via his Twitter account, of course.
That are gone now.
That are all gone. They've all been deleted. In which he was none too pleased. The first one said, "I'd really appreciate if anyone on the current staff at the University of Texas football team besides Craig Kniver, who's a safeties coach, Jason Washington, or Kyle Coates would keep my name out of their mouth and continue to bad talk me or any other junior that decided to leave early," Elliott tweeted. "We lead your team to the best we could for making a decision to better our families, which I believe you would do the same." Went on to say, "If you really loved your players the way you portray, then you wouldn't continually talk bad about them behind closed doors." So Brian Davis, our friend who was on with us yesterday, is reporting that that stream of tweets stems from a 4th of July party that Deshaun Elliott threw a 4th of July party at a day pool party here in Austin, and multiple current Longhorn players attended, and that some members of the coaching staff later found out about him attending the party and warned them not to associate with Elliott, which led to this. The tweets have been deleted, and since then, Deshaun Elliott, his latest tweet says, "Why so serious?" Essentially trying to say he was just kind of kidding around. Don't be so serious. Well, look, whatever. This is one of those stories where, you know, it's kind of like salacious. It's salacious gossip at some level. Not salacious, it's just gossip. And I don't know what to make of it. I mean, who knows? There's no context to the story. There's no context to the tweets. Who knows what was said? But it's not beyond my thinking that if, you know, the current players who are looking to move forward and be part of next year are hanging out with a former player at a party, that someone might have warned him, "Hey, look, you know, whatever." But who knows? What do you think, Buck?
It doesn't matter. You, as a coach, you can't comment back on that. You just leave that go and go do what you have to do.
Yes.
As the head coach. I mean, Tom Herman's not going to have a bunch of tweets and play tweeting war with a former player. Just can't do that. Now, if it's true, the coaches shouldn't talk about the kids. And if, on the other hand, the kid doesn't need to name coaches that shouldn't, that haven't kept it. He just put those other coaches by naming their names, you know, and separating them from the other group of coaches. And Twitter is just so horrible.
That's,
I mean,
right,
it's just a horrible way. If you really want to get a message to a coach and you're really, I mean, you played at this school for a number of years, even though you got a new coach that's in there, been there for 1 year, just pick up the telephone and say, "Coach, is this what's going on? Could you not do that, please? Because it's coming back to me." But you don't have to name people. You don't have to put people's names in that. But if it's coming back to him and coaches are saying that, then coaches shouldn't be doing
it
either.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's hard to comment on in that, you know, is it possible that certain coaches are saying, "Hey, don't hang out with Deshaun Elliott. He's not the type of guy we want to be." I don't know why. I don't have context on that. Why would they be saying that? What was going on at the party? Who knows? So those are all things that are, it's just tweets.
Yeah, and it could be people weren't happy that those guys left. And
sure,
and
there could be some hard feelings.
Sure, and obviously that's what it is. But the head coach can't. He leaves that one alone.
Well,
that one just goes.
We've also heard the scuttle. I heard Rod B talking about it yesterday that you know, Deshaun was upset that maybe the coaches didn't give him the most glowing report to the NFL scouts when they asked about him.
And those rumors are about a lot of players.
Yeah, well,
that left as juniors. But
I think Tom Herman and his staff, and certainly Tom Herman, when an NFL scout or coach asks about a player, he's got to be honest with him. You know, that would be. I've never been a football coach. You were. But if an NFL scout comes and asks me about a player, I'm not going to lie to him.
You have to give your honest opinion. That's why they come there.
That's why they ask the equipment people
and everybody else.
Right. If you blow smoke and the guy turns out to be not a good guy or not a good player, they're going to come back and say, "Wait a second, you said he was rock solid. What are you talking about?
And I'm not going to trust you for your fifth round guy I'm going to try to take care of." No, I'm not going to do that.
But again, I don't know Deshaun Elliott's situation. I know
Deshaun Elliott's girlfriend is the former coach's
daughter.
Daughter. So,
well,
I mean,
yeah, last check, he was dating Charlie Strong's daughter.
Yeah, I mean,
there's a lot happening.
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of stuff involved in that, but I just know that Tom Herman can't be the one who he can't be involved in that. He's just got to go on with his business.
No, head down, go forward.
Yeah,
and endure with this year's team. And it does feel like this year's team has a lot of great chemistry, and some of those that maybe weren't 100% on board. Because, I mean, to me, everyone's been talking about this Breckenhager story. And maybe we can find the audio on this and play it when we come back. But so the way the media days went, you know, the players were, we had them on the radio. Brecken was on the radio. These guys talked to Vahe and Chris Nelson. And then in the afternoon, there's a breakout session where Tom Herman sits in one podium and all the players sit, and they sit there for an hour. And, you know, media can ask them whatever they want. And that's going on all at one time with all five teams and the coaches. And during that breakout session, Brecken Hager, Tom Herman actually told the story of the Oklahoma State game. And it was funny because Tom actually leaned back and yelled down the aisle to Brecken and said, "Hey, can I tell the Oklahoma State story?" Which Brecken shouted back and said, "Hell yeah, man." And so the story was that he and Brecken were not getting along, that Brecken wasn't fully buying into the plan. And, you know, Tom said, "It was hard for me to believe someone who loves Texas so much and has so much history at Texas was not was not fully on board with what we were trying to do." And he actually said, "We had some pretty good knockdown dragouts as coach to player because he's a headstrong player and we're going to only do it our way." You know, I think that was going on with a lot of players last year. And so both of them told the same story that Brecken had a sack against Oklahoma State. He said, "I should have had four sacks, but you know they had an intentional grounding or whatever." But he gets a big sack. They're playing the number a top 10 team, the game that they ended up losing in overtime. Remember here in Austin, he gets a sack. He's coming off the field. He rips his helmet off and he looks at Tom and says, "Coach, I'm sorry." And Tom looked at him and said, "For what?" And he says, "For being a blank hole." And he said, "I love you, man." And he said that to Herman. Herman was like, "What? Okay. Love you too, man." And they both told the story that at that point, Brecken has said since that point, there was kind of an epiphany, he called it, which I know you love the word epiphany.
Yes.
That these guys want us because he was having his best game and the work that they were putting in was paying off and he was starting to believe, okay, these guys are trying to put us in the best positions. This is paying off. This is working. And that was kind of his moment. Point of that is that there is a lot of that in this culture now, that and some of the guys that never really bought in, never really were on board last year because they were Charlie Strong players. In the coaches' minds, maybe that's good that they're not here. That we
it probably is,
and it absolutely is.
But
good.
I guarantee he'd love to have them back. You're saying that, but he would love to have Deshaun Elliott, and
not if they're not on board 100% committed to the process.
They wouldn't come back unless they were committed to the process because football is hard. It's not an easy thing to do, to go practice and do that. And
Tom Herman has admitted from the very beginning, this is going to be a very hard program.
Absolutely.
This will be a very difficult program, and you're either all in or we'll find somebody who is.
But you still can't, no matter what, you can't badmouth the players. And I don't call it badmouth. You can't give indications of you know what, if you're there and saying things to the other kids about the players that have really put a lot into University of Texas. And people are mad at Deshaun Elliott. I'm trying to figure out, wait a minute, now, this guy's put a lot into it. He can't duplicate what he was not going to come back here and duplicate what he did.
I think that's where I don't know. I don't know the whole story of the 4th of July party. Why did the coaches say, "Hey, don't hang out with him," or who knows what was said? And that's the thing. There's not enough information to have a strong
opinion. I know Twitter's no good.
Right.
Well, for that kind of communication.
It's just some angry and the tweet started at like late at night, so you never know what's going on there. Is he angry?
Oh, if you're really angry,
call the coach.
Call him up. And if you're close with Coach Washington, call up Coach Washington so he has a talk with him. It could be really kind of simple things to do, but kids don't do simple things. They run to Twitter.
By the way, Tiger Woods just teed off on number one and hit a stinger that rolled and rolled and rolled. I got to get some – that must have rolled 150 yards. That thing, or at least 100, that thing was rolling. He hit it. Tiger piped it, I mean, right down the middle of the fairway, and it just – On the dirt that they're playing on, or that brown grass.
Yeah, but things like players don't want to be coached hard. It's when you go out there to play football, it's hard.
Yes, it's really hard.
And they're no different. They're not softies when it comes to being coached. In this day and age, it's not like it used to be when they were. No, kids are tough. Football's tough.
Well, and Tom Herman has said a lot, and his staff. There's a fine line between being too tough, but you got to love your players. But at the same time, the expectations have to be really high. And if you're going to beat Alabama, you're going to beat Oklahoma, there's a level to which we have to hold ourselves and an accountability to which we have to play with. And that's why, Tom, we heard him yesterday. Do we have this cut? Let's play this one more time from the Missouri game. The Missouri game with eight players moved on, including Deshaun Elliott, they were going off to the NFL, that the players that stuck bought in and maybe started to figure it out, because I think it was Kevin that asked him, did you win the locker room after the Missouri game? Here was Tom Herman yesterday right here on the Horn.
I think they won themselves. I think We stayed the same. We didn't change, I think. But there was, you know, it wasn't just winning the game, right? It was, by my count, we had 8 guys that had started football games that didn't play in that game. They were either suspended, they chose not to play, or they were injured. So that's 8 out of 22. So that's over a third,
right,
of guys that didn't start. We were playing an SEC team, the SEC, you know.
I hear about it.
Yeah. We were playing the SEC team that had won 6 straight games and was on fire, and we beat them 33-16 or whatever it was. And so I think it was all of those things that kind of culminated and said, hey, hang on. We finally kind of let our shield down, let our guard down a little bit. We let these guys coach us. We had fun. We worked our tails off in bowl prep. We didn't change. We still worked as hard as we did. We just made a conscious effort to have fun doing it. And then we showed up and did that. Like, holy cow. I think maybe this guy's onto something.
Yeah,
you know, maybe this guy and his staff they're onto something.
All right. Well, maybe that dovetails in with the Brecken conversation, that there was a moment for Brecken where I was like, oh, okay, now I see what's happening. Now I get it, that they are pushing me and this is the result. And it was what he thought should have been a 4-sack game against Oklahoma State and Mason Rudolph. And, you know, that's when Tom Herman talks about culture and changing the culture and turning it. And when it becomes from within the locker room and the players, and that's when special things can happen.
And now Twitter's become everybody's personal news conference.
It's their megaphone.
Because everybody's now listening to what happened at Texas. I mean, here it is, something about the NFL Network, and now it's rumored out that this coaching staff was bad-mouthing guys at the combine and stuff. See,
reference. I mean, bad-mouthing or telling their honest opinion based on one year of experience.
That's right.
Is that bad-mouthing, or is it like, look, this guy wasn't all the way bought in, and we had a hard time getting him to – I don't know what they said. That's again, there's no context to this story.
It's Twitter. It's your own private news conference.
Exactly. Yes. And then it can get retweeted and echo chamber, and oh, my gosh, these coaches are terrible. You can't respond to it, though. You just have to keep doing what you're doing.
No, not the head coach. You can't do that whatsoever.
Especially players who aren't part of your team any longer.
That's already over with. That whole conversation of that. But what it does is, if it starts to leak into you, don't want it leaking into your recruiting. That's what you don't want.
Oh, that's right. That's exactly right. And if Tom Herman or part of his coaching staff are in the wrong for, you know, talking bad about former players behind closed doors, that's bad form too. So, but I don't have enough facts to know what went on and why. Hey, we'll come back. When we do, we'll continue the conversation. It's Buck On or Buck Off to that. We'll also run through some of the ESPY Awards last night, including a lot of local flavor. Taking home hardware last night. We'll dive in with some individual awards and a team award for the world champs down in Houston. We'll get you details. It's B&E on the Horn.
B&E.
Remember, get over to hornfm.com. Keep up with your fantasy golf squad. I'm going to be doing. I'm having a pretty good run here. Tony Finau's playing great. I got Zach Johnson.
Tony's at -4.
I think I made a dang coaching mistake because I know I picked at one point Kevin Kisner, and I think I may have changed that.
Damn it!
And he's the leader.
That's a dang coaching mistake.
That is a shame. But I hope you got logged on to that. And while you're there at thehornfm.com, the website, listening live, check out the full Monty podcast. Monty's got a couple of new ones up, including he did during the All-Star break, he did a great one with a guest talking about the augmented reality and the new technologies. And they talked about automated strike zones in Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. And they had a great idea and discussion about using the All-Star game and testing it out in the All-Star game, the automated zone, just for fans to kind of get used to it and see that it really wouldn't change a lot as far as the overall way the game flows and how it works. There'll still be an umpire. But Tiger Woods has led off his British Open with a birdie on the first hole. He striped it right down the middle, and then his approach shot was great. He played it to the right, and it bounced off the berm.
Touching his neck, though. Look out.
Oh, drama Tiger.
You know, the first bogey, double bogey.
Yeah, Tiger's drama. He's got some tape on his neck that apparently woke up with a bit of a stiff neck over there. And
you know how you get those stiff necks?
You
out of the country.
You sleep on it wrong?
Or somebody wrong.
No. He just had a soft pillow or something.
We got to start something up about Tiger again. He's too clean now. It can't
even
be possible.
Danica Patrick was cracking wise on him last night.
Was she after him too?
Yeah. She says he doesn't win. Everybody's still talking about him. What does he think he is, me?
Oh.
Now, by the way, did
was she one of the funny ladies? I mean, was she? You know,
I didn't think she was funny at all.
Because women aren't funny.
I did not find Danica Patrick
You did
funny.
Not? Even with the setup jokes,
no.
It didn't. I thought in the beginning she was okay. I thought she was going to hold her own.
I think the skits they do are horrible.
They are.
On that show. the setup skits, not good. Now, look, ESPN's ESPN.
What about, did she say anything about what's his face's nasty looking suit pants, short
pants? She made fun of Odell Beckham because she came out like in a short suit and said, I wanted to look like Odell or something. She's just, well, you're the one that says women aren't funny.
Well, they're not. But I thought this was one, when you get jokes set up for you by
professionals. She's a race car driver. Is she funny?
The joke is she didn't have a win. That's the real joke.
She makes Aaron Rodgers laugh? I think no.
Oh, do you think Aaron Rodgers doesn't think she's funny?
I don't think so.
He didn't have that much of a sense of humor anyway.
That's right. I mean, he's kind of a dry guy anyhow.
That's true.
Goof. He's a damn good football player.
All I know is, all I've seen is this morning about Danica Patrick is she was awful last night. That's what they're saying.
Look, I went in with, I mean, she's not a comedian. She's a race car driver. She's not an entertainer. So she's having to hold a room.
I mean, she's not John Travolta.
No.
Doing funny bits.
Like the other athletes, like Peyton Manning did it, right?
And oh, he's awesome.
But with Peyton, I guess my opinion of what I saw of Danica, I honestly didn't see the entire thing, and I didn't see her monologue. I did read some of the quotes and see some of the little videos that went by. But we turned it on right when they did the tribute to Jim Kelly, which was,
I heard
powerful.
Yeah, I heard her monologue, and then I happened to turn back when Jim Kelly was giving his speech.
We did play Jim Kelly's entire 5-minute speech, which was, you know, people were like, man, I'm going to be crying at work. It was really emotional. As usual, the ESPYs does a great job with powerful stuff like that. I mean, at the end, they brought out 150 young ladies of all ages who were molested by Larry Nassar in the Michigan State USA gymnastics scandal, and that was very powerful. I mean, to see the vision of all these younger ladies who were up there, and Allie Raisman, did she win a gold medal? Was she a gold medal winner for the U.S.? Or at least that team won the gold. How about this? She said, Allie Raisman, we probably could play this. She said, she just started with her little monologue, said 1997, 1998, 1999, 2000, 2004, 2011, 13, 14, 15. She went on 16. She said, these were all the years we spoke up about Larry Nassar's abuse. All those years we were told, you are wrong. You are misunderstood. He's a doctor. It's okay. Don't worry. We've got it covered. Be careful. There are risks involved. The intention to silence us in favor of money, medals, and reputation, which was very, very powerful. I mean, and the first lady that spoke was the lady who they say was the first lady molested, or young girl molested by Larry Nassar 3 decades ago. And it was really powerful. Still amazing that was allowed to go on, and just a disgrace to USA Gymnastics and to a lot of adults who did not do the right thing.
That's right.
I'm sure the guilt of those parents. I mean, we'll be talking about this in real time, but the parents, how did you not know? I mean,
and some actually in there during examinations, and they couldn't figure out, or they just didn't want to say anything because they wanted their daughter to.
And people will say, well, what type of molestation was going on? They told in the piece they ran before the end, they talked about one of the girls was quoted as like taking off her leotard, so she's naked, laying on a bed, and he was doing something that he called readjusting her spine. So he was like reaching way up,
inside
without
of her,
a glove. I mean,
yes.
Like something. This is not a medical treatment. This is no part of this is medical.
No.
And some of these girls are 10 years old, which, you know, if you remember the trial, the father who tried to attack Larry Nassar obvious reasons.
And I just can't imagine a young girl coming out of there and telling her mom, "This is how he checked me. I'm 12. This is what he did." And the mother saying, "Well, you know, that's probably part of." I guess that's part of the
I'm just,
being naive and to the point of, isn't it an exam? But somebody would have had to question that of 146 young girls.
Right, and it's similar to the Jerry Sandusky story in that because that's Jerry Sandusky. He's big Jerry Sandusky. This guy is the best defense coordinator for Joe Paterno. I mean, this was Larry Nassar. I mean, this was Mary Lou Retton. I mean, this is gold medals. This is the Carolis. Think about it. If you're a young parent and you've got a young daughter she's to this level, she's this good at gymnastics, that she's now being coached by, and she's made it. I mean, you know how you've been around that with high-level sports.
Sure.
You mean, you're so proud of your kid, you're here, and then this is Larry Nassar. He's been the doctor for the whole time. She must be mistaken.
Nothing's ever been reported.
Yeah.
How could this
crazy.
Possibly happen?
He's been the doctor for so long. I mean, that stuff, and so the guilt of that of parents to this day is still devastating, not to the length for the young girls who had their innocence stolen by this monster, but That was very powerful last night. That was well done. But Danica Patrick, nah.
Not so funny. Not so funny, huh?
The local flavor, though, the Houston Astros. The Astros are, this is very rare. This is weird for me as a Houston fan. I've always said I'm a, you know, growing up an Astros fan, you kind of learn to take your lumps. Like, you know, you're a Houston fan in general. You're kind of self-loathing because you've been through the near misses so many times. This Astros team's hard to get your hands around. They won the World Series. I mean, think about the last calendar year, Buck. And it really started with when they pulled off the Justin Verlander trade. I mean, from that point on, it's really just been as a fan, you're like, oh my gosh, they just pulled off the Justin Verlander trade. And then Verlander was magic. And then the playoff run through, I mean, you're taking down the Titans of baseball. You're taking down the Red Sox and the Yankees and the Dodgers. I mean, you'd have to beat like the Marlins or somebody. You beat the cream of the crop.
It's true.
On the way to a World Series. And there were just magical moment after magical moment. You know, Jose Altuve wins the MVP. Last year, George Springer was the All-Star Game MVP. This year, Alex Bregman's the All-Star Game MVP. They're getting the ESPY for best team, and this stuff doesn't happen to a Houston team. And I think there's a sense in Houston and for the fans, it's just the beginning. Like, this is what's going to keep happening because Jeff Luhnow has built such a great organization that.
Yeah, those players that you're talking about aren't players that are going to get worse. They're only going to get better.
Oh, yeah, Bregman's brand new. This kid Kyle Tucker, who they say is every bit of the hitter that these other guys are. Can you imagine if he pans out and becomes a force in that lineup with the guys they already have? Plus, you know, the top three of the rotation were all stars. They got a guy like Forrest Whitley, the big right hander who's coming. I mean, it's fun. But and the thing, you know, the one thing about Astro and Houston sports teams in the past, in the biggest moments, they would come up small. I mean, they would come up small. Bagwell Biggio, two of my favorite players of all time. Biggest moments, wouldn't get
totally
it done.
Totally opposite way now. They get hits.
Now it's like, golly, they come up huge.
Expectations are they going to get it done?
Yeah, it is. I'm telling you, as a fan, I've been turned around. I'm like, what? Who are these guys? This is crazy. I'm used to Warren Moon and the Oilers choking in the biggest moments. Fi Slama Jama choking in the biggest of the moments. I'm waiting for it.
The Oilers.
Oh. When is Lucy going to pull the football back and I'm going to fall on my face again? No, this Astros, he's like, hey, here, Bregman, Jack, home run. See you later.
I'm telling you, the Texans have a chance if they stay healthy.
I'm starting to believe you
now.
Come
on, man.
This Astros team's turning my mindset. I'm like, let's go. Maybe we can do this thing.
If this defense stays healthy for the Texans, they may have enough on offense. If Foreman comes back and he's healthy enough after this Achilles, which I think he comes back about four games in and not in the first game. But if they can hold the ship for them in this pass-catching group who is, I mean, they got one of the best wide receivers in the game that nobody, if you Sean, go around the country and talk about.
Nuke Hopkins was there last night. He was
you don't
dressed,
even talk to him. People don't even talk about that guy.
He's unbelievable.
Around the nation.
He's a freak.
Nobody thinks of him as.
Well, there are people in Houston that think, and I will say this for the Texans, you know, the ESPN just came out with their all-under-25 team, and Deshaun Watson was the quarterback of the all-under-25 team for the roster. I know a lot of Cowboy fans were bummed about that, were dismissive of that because they didn't pick Ezekiel Elliott. They picked the all-under-25 running backs were Todd Gurley and Saquon Barkley, who hasn't even played it down
yet. Yeah, I don't get that.
Yeah, that seemed like
Saquon Barkley?
They think he's going to be that good. But, you know, a lot of people think at this point, because Nuke Hopkins is still heading into his prime of his career, that those two can be like a
right.
You know, Marvin Harrison, Peyton Manning type relationship.
He's a stud. And when Watson is able to extend the play and it allows him to get vertical, oh, my God.
Well, and Will Fuller, too. Will Fuller's the one that can. That,
exactly.
That's when their offense opened up was exactly what Wags just said. Deshaun Watson would extend plays. The original play, and Will Fuller is way down the field. This thing is blowing up, and everything opens up. Everything opens up. The running game opened up. I mean, they were averaging 30-some points a game.
Fuller had four touchdowns in the two games that he returned.
Yeah, no, he is a scary.
He's got to stay healthy. That hammy stuff with him that's always been a problem.
So are you saying we could have
an
MVP in basketball and Harden, MVP in baseball, and now Deshaun Watson?
There you go.
Look at you, Buck. This says best thing about the ESPYs was Kate Beckinsale and Iza. I don't know who Iza was. I did see Kate Beckinsale. And, you know, she's 44. Kate Beckinsale?
Oh, yeah.
44.
Just finer with age.
And I'm 45. This lady is 44. She came out last night at the ESPYs and in like, whoa. Remember she was dating like the 21-year-old dude?
That's right.
Remember her? She stays young. See what I'm saying? She stays young. Well done.
She dresses young, too.
I don't know what that outfit is. I mean, it's
It's gorgeous. It's a great outfit.
It's very leggy, as they would say. We'll come back. When we do, we will tee it up for Trey and BK in the midday, set up the rest of your Thursday, reset our top headlines, and get a couple more buck-ons and buck-offs as they're there. Appreciate you being with us. We'll come right back on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, stream on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
A couple of other fairly big names are in the clubhouse with fine first rounds at the Open Championship at Carnoustie. Of course, Kevin Kisner is the clubhouse leader and has been all morning, 5 under 66 early today. But Tony Finau, he of my foot was going the wrong way at the Masters fame, is shot a 67 today.
He's your guy now.
Well, he's been, look at the last two majors. He's been right there, top five, top 10 type finishes, even with a bum ankle at the Masters. That was very impressive. But Tony Finau, Justin Thomas, reigning PGA, what was he, player of the year last year?
With the beard growing out.
Got a little scruff going.
Yeah.
He's at 3 under through 9. Not done yet, obviously. John Rahm shot a 69 today. Pat Perez shot a 69 today. Ryan Moore, 2 under. And if you missed it from earlier, if you're just tuning in, the disappointment for Jordan Spieth. Jordan Spieth was at 3 under with 4 holes to play and was looking like he was going to post one of these kind of rounds like Finau did, a 67. He went double bogey, bogey, par bogey. So he finished 4 over in the final 4 holes to tumble from minus 3 to plus 1 for his round. Not good for Jordan. He's gonna regret that. Maybe he'll shave. Hey, how about some breaking news from the University of Texas basketball program? Texas has announced today that they're going to be part of over the Thanksgiving holiday. Texas will be part of the Vegas basketball tournament in Vegas, and they're going to play the teams there: North Carolina, Michigan State, UCLA.
Yeah, we probably have to go to that sometime.
Should we go to Vegas for Thanksgiving?
We're going to have to go to. We're going to have to give up our Thanksgiving, but we'll pray while we're in Vegas. But we need to be there for that event.
I don't know if we'll just give thanks.
We'll give thanks. Okay, we'll give thanks.
Yeah, so Texas is going to play on Thanksgiving Day, North Carolina. Ooh, wow! Roy
in
Williams,
Vegas.
Tar Heels in Vegas. Oh yeah, this is a big deal.
Vegas, baby.
Well, maybe we should go.
I think so.
Now listen, I'm going to the Maryland game. I'm making that roadie. Up to the Maryland game. Wags is all into it because he lives, apparently knows where all the good spots are up there. I'm saying, Wags, dude, I'm 45. I'm not going to be going out late at night. You just got to know that.
No, we'll get you in early, but we're going to take care of you, Bull.
You got to get some good food there.
I need some clams.
Oh, clams and crabs, some blue crab.
Blue crab. I need some seafood.
Get you some lobster tail with some stuffed crab imperial on there, man. Take you down to Little Luigi's.
I might go down to Annapolis and see if I can find Bill Belichick or something.
Good stuff, man. Go.
Go down there in the Haba. The Haba.
Don't come
back. I'll be there. But then Vegas for the Thanksgiving. But remember, we're planning to go in December to the Hall of Fame induction ceremony of one Mac Brown.
That's good. That's really going to be special.
I don't know if we can make three straight road trips.
No, we need to save the December one. That's a special trip. There'll be a lot of they'll be in some incredible people there, not just sports people. I mean, that's where Condi and I met. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you and Condi?
Yeah, Condi. I met Condi.
How's Condi doing, Condi Rice?
You know, we haven't really been in touch since then. And she did give me the time of day when I was at the Waldorf Astoria.
Ooh,
staying there.
Humana.
You know, Coming to America. Do you remember that movie? All the movies that were filmed there. And yes, she did give me the time of day.
All right, so the pairings for the championship rounds of the 18th annual Continental Tire Las Vegas Invitational announced this morning. And Texas will face North Carolina in the semifinals on Thursday, November 22nd. That's Thanksgiving Day, 6:30. And Michigan State will then face UCLA in the second semifinal. Obviously, the winners would then meet. So Texas will play North Carolina. They could play if they were able to beat the Tar Heels. You know, that's a big if. But Michigan State and UCLA on the other side.
Let me ask you, Wags. Now that the World Cup is over with, where does soccer turn themselves towards? Do these guys go back to their clubs' teams? Are they playing now? Is it soccer season?
Yeah, they return back to the clubs, but now it's sort of like the transfer window. The summer transfer window opens up. It's kind of like free agency period.
Oh.
Yeah, that's good. Of course, Ronaldo's already
made his decision.
Zinedine Zidane, he's also at Juve, too. There's reports that he, in a surprise move, Juve signed Zinedine Zidane. So
speaking English?
Yeah, it's French.
Just kidding.
It's French.
Well, I'm French. Ask me about
you are that. European, yes.
Yeah. That's true. So we're not getting a new coach. USA will not have a new coach for the men's team.
That actually adds. If Deschamps leaves, and I'm assuming that Zidane will assume the role of the French manager, the international manager.
Hmm.
I don't know if this is a good idea. I just read this headline. Jimmy Garoppolo takes a porn star on a Beverly Hills date. Hmm.
Well, who was the porn star?
Yeah, I mean, well, porn stars are people, too.
Kiara Mia. Jimmy Garoppolo was sighted with her at a restaurant called Avra.
Yeah, well, maybe she's done. Maybe she's done porning like Lisa Ann. Lisa Ann now is a therapist. She helps out people with their problems.
Yeah, but once you've had that was your job, I'm out.
You can't do that. People deserve a chance at a regular life, and she's now into the regular life.
It's a deal killer.
I'm all about competition.
That's a deal killer for me.
You think so?
Yeah. You don't like smokers? I'm not doing that.
Oh, I don't like smokers. If you smoke, I don't care what you look like. It's not happening with us. But if you're a porn star like Lisa Ann, who
former.
Okay, the word former porn star, I would venture to look the other way, if you know what I mean.
Really?
Do you remember the Russian soldiers that came to her door?
When you get married, right, you accept that, there might have been a few cars parked in the garage. You know what I'm saying? But
hopefully only
I'm
a
not
going
to go with a parking garage. I'm just not.
I'm not going with a 6-story parking garage, are you?
I'm out on that deal. To each his own. But that's not for me.
Wow.
All right, that's going to do it for us. We
got to
hand
it
off the train. That's a great way to end up a buck off of Thursday. I saw the headline. Thought Jimmy G, that doesn't seem. This guy's like a dreamboat. This guy is. Jimmy Garoppolo is good looking.
And she's quite the dream, obviously, for him.
Just not for me. Sorry.
No.
Sorry. It's my opinion. No, I don't agree with Greg Popovich saying the media started up the Kawhi Leonard nonsense. That's a bunch of bull.
That is a bunch of bull.
Nick Saban saying the media is to blame for. Wanting to know about who the quarterbacks meet at Alabama? Come on, man. That's fake news.
None of it's going to change. That's where it would be.
Hey, you got Tiger Woods all day. He's just teed off. He's already got a birdie on the board, so that's on the Golf Channel live right now.
He just stuck another one in.
No, that's a replay of his
first
birdie.
Okay.
Yep. All right, Trey and BK are next. They'll have a lot of fun. Rodcast follows. Chad and Kevin, we're back for a Friday edition. Buck, hydrate yourself and be careful on the golf course today. It's going to be 105 degrees today. Wags, thank you. BK, thank you. Thanks to everybody. Thank you to Josh Abbott for dropping by as well. Every hour podcast at hornfm.com.